Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 15th on the West Coast, now March the 16th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to also welcome those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. We appreciate you joining us, and we are certain that you're going to find tonight's show extremely interesting as well as very educational. If you've been following the news, basically they've been talking about what's going on in Japan. More tremors, volcanoes spewing ashes and dust into the air. We're not getting the truth as far as I can tell. And this whole event appears to be geared towards cap and trade, much like the event that we experienced a few months ago in the Gulf of Mexico. It's a sad time when people who profess to care for and for the earth, we'll say, as well as humanity, do everything they can to destroy both. And it's quite obvious that the cabal that runs the planet right now and has been for thousands of years is coming to the end of their ropes in one way or another. They're at the end of the plank. The blindfolds have been taken off of us and are about to be placed about their eyes. Think about that for a moment, if you would, because there's more ahead. We're going to be talking about that with tonight's guest, but before we bring him on, I thought it might be appropriate to, at least with all the destruction that's going on the planet, to dedicate a song to Mother Earth. This is called Canto della Terra.
So, amore, che io e te forse stiamo insieme solo qualche istante. Zitti, stiamo ad ascoltare il cielo alla finestra, questo mondo che così lontana, già lontana. Guarda questa terra che gira insieme a noi, anche quando è buio. Guarda questa l'amore mio, sento la tua voce e ascolto il mare, sembra davvero il tuo respiro, l'amore che mi dai, questo amore che sta lì nascosto in mezzo mezzo alle sue onde, a tutte le sue onde, come una barca che guarda questa terra che gira insieme a noi anche quando è buio. Questa terra che gira anche per noi, a darci un po' di sole, sole.
That was Andrea Bocelli from his album Sogno, which, for those of you who don't speak Italian, means dream. Canto della Terra, Song of the Earth. And some of the lyrics, for those who don't speak Italian, it's kind of ironic because he says, guard this earth that spins together with us. Guard this earth which spins for us. Notice he didn't mention the mainstream media that's spinning like a top these days. Thought it was appropriate anyway to at least consider what is going on in a galactic sense, if you will, because what's going on here on Earth not only affects the planet, but the solar system and the entire galaxy. And we could speculate even the universe. We are responsible for what is occurring on this earth. We are responsible for our own lives. And if we align ourselves with the creator of the universe, we stand a better chance of surviving. Of course, that's not intended for us down here. They want us to worship politicians who are corrupt, who are pilfering trillions of dollars. I heard a quote today that there are some 60 million laws in America. I've been saying somewhere around 23 million. I guess I was a little bit off. And yet God gave us 10 laws, and we can't even keep those. How are we going to keep 60 million of them? That's about 5 people per law. Think about that. Which one would you accept as your reality on this planet? That's my rant for the evening. Tonight's guest is kind enough with his busy schedule and his professional career and the work that he's doing across the country to grace us with his knowledge and his wisdom. And his faith in God. And he's going to be delivering a very serious message, as he always does when he's on Heaven and Footprints. He hosts his own show heard on Republic Broadcasting Network. It's called Voices from the Heartland. His website is theheartlandusa.com. And, he's my good friend, very dear friend, Dr. Greg Evenson. Greg, welcome to the show.
Don, I, as always, it's a privilege and a pleasure to be with you. People don't know that we have a very close relationship in real life, And I tell you, I was very, I was inspired and at the same time touched by that opening, both your monologue itself and the wonderful music. Don, what I've seen occurring over the last several years, and I think we're seeing it manifest now, is this great tearing of our relationship with each other, with our nations, with our environment, and finally with God Himself. And we have really more or less, I believe, set the balance so terribly out of balance that what you're seeing is really the only reaction that we could expect. And as a result, people that have certainly suffered greatly in the past, partly because of their own greed and a very negative military lifestyle. I'm not saying that this is involved necessarily, but regardless, it's a matter of these people and this place is suffering greatly tonight, and I'm thinking deeply about them at this moment. So with that opening, I guess, we're ready to kind of tackle some of the things that are on the outside looking in and the inside looking out on this to try and see where we may be going from here.
Yes. As an introduction, and I don't know that I could even fit an introduction, a proper introduction for you in the entire hour. You've done so many things throughout your career.
Oh, well, Don, thank you. And I think the folks that are good listeners of you will probably recall, suffice it to say, I'm a former law enforcement officer at the state level. I've done federal as well. But it is a matter of now I'm teaching what I know, learned from those days, put into a package that will help people be able to deal with the very kinds of things we're talking about now, because it will move more toward the extreme now as we are seeing the effects of, as I say, this tearing of our independent and necessary relationships. We've done a bad job of handling it, Don.
Yes. You know, today I received an email from someone who asked me a question about who might be able to intercede in the destruction that's going on, say, in Japan. These what appear to be outright sabotage attacks on nuclear facilities there, and what could be done in that regard? And I used an analogy of teaching a child not to put their fingers in an electric outlet. You know, you teach them that if you put your fingers in there or you stick something in there, particularly a metal object, you're going to get a shock if not electrocuted. And of course, God forbid, but in a situation where a child actually did that, the moment the parent or the adult or the older child grabs that child to try to pull them out of the socket, they also conduct the electricity in their effort to stop a tragedy from occurring. Now both are involved in the same tragedy. And it becomes a matter of responsibility. You teach the child not to do what is going to be lead to the child's demise. You would think that adults, that governments, that consider themselves to be so powerful, so omniscient and omnipotent in what they do on a day-to-day basis, would understand that intrinsically, and would understand that when they blow up a building or a nuclear facility, in this case, in another country, that it's going to have repercussions. Somewhere in time, somewhere on the face of this earth, maybe it's hell, they're going to have to pay for what they do. And people get swept into the emotion and the fear of this without really seeing what's going on. And that keeps driving me back to the essence of who we are. We are spirit beings inhabiting bodies on planet Earth, here to learn, here to graduate to a higher consciousness. Not in a sense, that is what evolution is. Not this thing about us becoming humans from simians, from monkeys. That's what they teach us. That's what they would like us to believe, because it belittles the Creator. And that's every intention they have. So as much as we're going to talk about bare bone, down-to-earth warfare and infiltration of countries, our country, infiltration of the government and all those things, I would hope that we could look at this from a spiritual perspective at the same time, if you get my meaning.
Oh, I certainly do, Don, and I think you've described this just virtually without flaw. Look, I think anyone listening tonight, first of all, loyal listeners to you and to this great program, I think would perhaps find an element that we can agree on, and that would be, perhaps I'll suggest this, that what this is about is ultimately the single word control, whether it is in the spiritual realm or in the physical realm. We are seeing a great battle going on in the hearts and minds of men and women, not just in the physical. Certainly it's true in the physical, but what you have, I believe, in looking at this, and I've tried to you know, these great pictures are coming out of, well, I say great pictures, but I mean just awe-inspiring pictures of the force that we saw moving across the land in the form of the tsunami and the videotapes of the shaking of buildings. It was a great battle for control of the air and the ground, the physical, in that sense. And I think that whatever the origins, Don, and whatever the outcome of this, I understand that there is a great, I heard just yesterday, a great whirlpool off the coast. I've not seen pictures of it. I guess this was something I heard in one of the broadcasts. And so I have no evidence to back this other than just to repeat what I heard. But it seems to me that all that is happening is an interplay, this great gash in the earth, this wound in the physical earth, but a wound to all things living on this planet, whether it's sea life or coastal life or even life in the air. You see, the animals that have been affected, including fish, there's a certain type of fish that they have nicknamed it the earthquake fish, has been responding to this in numbers that are hard to conceive just prior to this happening. So what is it that animals are sensing? Some people have suggested that it might be a great awakening and at the same time a disorientation because of the effect on gravity that is immediately to come, and to the effect on the Earth's rotation and the orbital plane. These are things that fish and birds rely on for navigation. And so when this is coming, the warning, I believe, does reach them, and we should be more careful about what we're seeing and hearing about. But just to kind of put a cap on this part of it, for me, what I have seen, Don, is a response to our irresponsibility, both yes. in terms of our stewardship of the land and the air and the animals upon it, that I believe God gave us the authority to subdue, but not like this. It was never intended to be like this. And the very fact that we have this radiation, which is unnatural in the sense that it's being manufactured, and it is so lethal, we have stumbled into the abyss. And I don't know, Don, I don't know if we can recover from this. If we do, it will be because God has blessed it so. But the fact is that we just are looking across the great, great divide here between our sensibilities and our innate should have been intellect that would have said to us, this is dangerous. We should not go here. And when we can create weapons or we can change the environment so much and manipulate the weather and all of that to an ultimately negative effect, we have what we've seen. And I'm afraid to say to you, Don, that I think there may be more to follow because of changes in our solar system and heavenly bodies out there and other issues happening within the Earth. I think we just need to be prepared for more, and that doesn't mean that, you know, we just need to get terrified over it. You know, we have some things we can offer here in this program briefly to let people know there are some avenues where they can go and learn some things that may help them.
Yes, well said. I neglected to mention that you also write for News with Views, and you've written some marvelous pieces. I've been reading over the past few years. And they come from the heart. That's the main thing that I notice, is that regardless of the topic that you're speaking about, you speak from the heart. And that demonstrates that you're operating out of responsibility. You mentioned our irresponsibility, and that's why I use the analogy of the electrocution. Someone has to become responsible enough to lead us down a proper path. And that path is not one of destruction, as you said quite accurately and correctly. This whole situation down here on this planet is out of balance, totally out of balance, not only with the solar system and the galaxy and the universe, but it's out of balance with itself.
John, again, perfectly. You know, somehow, you know, we've not talked anything about this off air, but it just interlaces so nicely. Your acknowledgement of the things that are meaningful and absolutely the most important are always right on the money. I enjoy you very much as a show host that way. What I'm saying to folks tonight is, by all means, let's put our hearts into this. And you mentioned heart, and of course the heartland is a state of mind. It's not a place. When I broadcast on the heartland, Voices from the Heartland, or the Heartland USA, it means United for a Sovereign America. We want an independent, a free America, a free individual. And we must now work to get back what we have lost from our greed and our avarice and our foolishness. And we must do so very aggressively, because if we do not, then the imbalance, and I do believe in balance, both physically and spiritually, we stand to lose far more even yet. And I would hate to think, Don, that we were so foolish that we would literally lose our environment and millions, perhaps billions of people as a result. So tonight we need to consider very strongly how we do that. And I'm not going to come out with some big panacea here, a silver bullet, a magic bullet, if you will, to address that. But I will suggest a few things that may get people back on track, lose some of the emotion of the moment and the, as you said earlier, and I'm glad that just triggered a thought, but you mentioned earlier about the truth. You know, in our world, the truth has become a very precious commodity, and one that, unfortunately, it seems, along with common sense, to always be the victim in every situation that we look at, whether it's governmental or international or monetary or in the banking system or in governments, whatever it is, we are making the most foolish choices. We know them to be wrong when we make them, but we do so because the truth is not in us. We are being dictated to by forces that are far more destructive than they are instructive. And what we have left, Don, at the end of the day, is a great void where we have consciously taken ourselves out of a contention for being republic builders and nation builders. We become nation destroyers. And it just, there is no justification. There's no way this can continue at the scope we've seen. And our nations, let alone our people, with any expectation of survival.
Yes. Yes. It has been by design. We've been told that it was a certain way. And of course, we experienced more freedom and a more prosperous experience on the planet as Americans, and that has spread to other parts of the world too. I'm sure you have been to other countries around the world, and
yes,
and you see the drawbacks in certain countries and the good points in others, and you always tend to, at least I did, I tended to compare the life in America to what I saw, but what we have here now is far worse than anything I saw in a socialist country or in a communist country or a former socialist or a former communist country. See, they call it names. They give it a name based on the political ideology and the power or the might of that country's military. It's always about the military. It's always we defeated this country or we have to go stop this here and stop that there. And we're never told the truth why these things are really going on. Of course, that's come out in recent years with many talk show hosts like yourself, researchers, authors, essayists, critics, and truth seekers. People who are after the truth are going to find it one way or another. And what do they do when it comes out? More of the same, more of the lying, more of the indoctrination, more of the propaganda, more mind control. Everything is based on control, as you said, very, very aptly.
Don, I have said many times when you were a guest on my old show, and then with this, I've said you are probably one of the greatest investigators I've ever even heard of, let alone worked for, with, or beside. And I know that you have uncovered things in the past that defy logical explanation or sometimes credible belief. Not that I've ever questioned your findings, but it reaches so deeply, and this is so pervasive that the layers, like an onion, we say many times, are just layer upon layer upon layer of deceit and of a plan, an agenda that is so negative and self-serving and serving only an elite power group. See, Don, the greatest goal of the elite on planet Earth that want to ruin and run, control the lives of everyone else, is power. It is the single element in existence that eclipses all of the others. That's why we see it so often, because everyone at their own level is trying to capture their ability to control something, whether it's animals that they have in the house or the type of lawn they have. I mean, I won't say silly things, but very minor things, all the way up to who controls communities, the religious aspect of the community, or the banking structure within that community, or the power structure in the police and security services. It's all a matter of arena control. In the arena of life, I control this part of it. And the raging bull in the arena right now are the forces that have brought us, I believe, to this point. Again, the business forces, I'm not anti-business, but I'm anti-ethical, business that does not practice an ethical core. And what we're seeing in the building of these power plants and in the running of them, and most lately, and I'll get right to the point now, is that we are seeing the governments who are out of control, Don, and this is the most important thing maybe I'll say tonight. The governments that are out of control because events have forced them to be that way are terrified at the thought of not being able to, again, control the information, the outcomes, the movement of people, this great force of nature that humbled and made man one more time just a mere microorganism on this planet, are terrified in Tokyo and in Washington and in other world capitals that suddenly their firm grip on the reins has been torn from their grasp, and they have nothing to do except say to people, well, it's okay. Don't worry about it. The radiation release is not nearly as bad as we thought it might be, even though the fuel rods are exposed. We've got 70% meltdown in one reactor. At least they believe they do. We have courageous people in these plants that are dying, that are walking dead men and women because they've given their lives to try and put back together what nature has torn apart. And their efforts, although appreciated by their fellow citizens, are very little. It's having very little effect. And they're keeping, Don, I think they're keeping the truth from us about the amount of radiation release and what that ultimately means for all the rest of us.
Yes. You see, all of this creates more fear. Everything is being totally consumed by the fear. And they're moving from one event to the other now. They're not even waiting for one to die down. You know, they went from the Gulf of Mexico, and my investigation into that leads to the paperwork and the financial fraud associated with that. This is another step in that direction.
Correct.
Now, I've determined, and I don't know if you agree with this, and it's not my intention also to stay on this whole topic, but this is the kind of thing we have to understand. We have to discern what's really going on if we're going to talk about what you're going to protect yourself from and how you are going to survive.
Yes.
If you choose to. I see that because of the massive destruction that we've wreaked on this planet over the years, nuclear testing, nuclear weapons being used in battles, you've got depleted uranium in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the clouds that are circling the earth because it's moved into the atmosphere and people are getting sick and people are fearful. And then you have the situation in the Gulf of Mexico, petroleum filling up the ocean and then spraying chemicals on it nonstop. And then you have the false flag shooting in Tucson, Arizona to get rid of a judge. Basically, that's the whole reason, and some of the things that judge stood for, things he was involved in, and decisions he was making. And then we move to earthquakes. We started having quakes in California. They always have them there. But then we had a number of them in Arkansas. Then we started to see the same things happening in New Zealand. And you can say, well, now, is this the Earth? And I can tell you there is evidence that it's not always Mother Earth that's behind it. Eventually, and I think what precipitated this event was likely Mother Earth finally defending herself against all of these attacks over thousands and thousands of years. Not to mention the entire consummate consciousness of all the people on the Earth and what they do. Yeah, you know, the Earth is a living entity, and it senses this. It was designed to be that way. After all, doesn't it give us life? Doesn't it keep us alive while we're here? And we do everything that we possibly can to undermine that, to reverse that. Well, that becomes obvious. Now we're into the realm of spirituality, and this is nothing but spiritual warfare.
Don, what a great way to put it. Look, let me even bring it a little closer to home for some people. Having investigated so many different kinds of crimes through my life, crimes of people that had the intent of committing a crime, not just violation of law, but of hurting other people for whatever reason. And I can tell you that many times, especially with arsons, we knew going in that it was a suspicious fire, but we didn't realize until the investigation was well underway that it normally was a cover-up for another crime, whether it would be a theft or a murder of some kind. It was covering up the truth. And what I see happening, Don, in that same response, area, is that we are covering. We're seeing crimes being covered. The burning room is covering up the crimes of nations, of banks, of industry, of those who have always taken advantage of the people who think they have privilege, and they have gain from jobs that are within this circle of control. And so it's been a kind of a mutual standoff, an eyeball to eyeball against people who have worked to build themselves up and to create their own destiny and their own place, versus those who granted the rights to people to pursue those things. And so the esoteric part of this, if you will, the philosophical part, is that we're seeing the end result of greed. You see, greed at its core, I think most people would agree tonight, Don, greed is evil. It represents that which is the worst of us, and that has many tentacles which reach out and affect our health and, again, our environment and our working relationship with each other, our educational facilities, all of it. And so tonight, now that we've kind of set the stage on this, I guess it's incumbent on us, if we can, to try and redirect our energy here to something that is positive. What can we do? What can we do, if anything? And if we are, if we can, and I believe we can, how do we implement that?
I'm just going to make one comment. You're the guest, and I want to hear what you have to say, but I want to respond to what you just said. And I'm going to go back to what I said before. Responsibility is the issue here. We are allowing this to happen. Shouldn't we, as a people around the world, be saying, what are you people doing with these nuclear weapons? You do not need them. For what? Why do you all have to have them?
Well, Don, ultimately, again, it is control, and people who have had evil concepts about it and evil goals will use the power that is, in our planet at least, the most, it's the greatest personification of that evil. We've all talked about peaceful uses of atomic energy and the atom. And I suppose there could be a good debate about that. But it is fire, literally. And, fire, as Washington said once, is a fearful master if not handled properly, and this is what's happened to us. But you see, as quickly as we allow things to get out of hand, the forces, Don, that have been used to a greater degree for the betterment of man's existence here with pharmaceuticals and with food that has improved over the years. Some have not, but we've made great gains in keeping disease in many areas down and so forth. But now the genie is out of the bottle, as we say, and the only way, at least for now, until nature has a chance to come back into balance with God's supervision, and at the same time, nature is trying to regroup. And I think that's really what it is, Don, and you've been so eloquent about that at the beginning of the show. What we're seeing is a ripping and a tearing, as I said, in the Earth's surface. The Ring of Fire is called that for a reason, with the earthquake, with the tectonic plates rubbing together and volcanoes and so forth happening. So what do we do? Well, first of all, I think we have to be tuned up and ready to go spiritually in all aspects. And wherever folks tonight listening are coming from. I think that is a journey that must take precedence, because we're only here temporarily. And so we want to look at that as being our first responsibility, and building that relationship, that bridge with God, and being ready for what might be in store for us. And then if we'll back up after that and say, all right, now I've got a few moments here in history where I can help others, and I can help my family and friends and those that are close to me. What would I do? Well, as I've become famous for, people say my middle name is Plan, and certainly that's the case, because whether your military background, which I have, or law enforcement, which I also have, because those are areas that have always operated on a strategic plan, a standard operating procedure or general orders, whatever it might be, they are there for a reason, because when catastrophe strikes, Don, whether it's natural or it's man-made and you're on a battlefield, you can bet that having a plan is better than having no plan. And when you must advance for the sake of protecting that which you have, and hopefully that is the case, then you have to have that plan that can be implemented to protect you at that moment. And so let's first of all agree that let's have a plan. Let's have an overall plan, a philosophical plan that says let's get this back where it needs to be. Let's get back on the side of order and transition and yes. peace and the idea of real connection, of love of people, of love of country, of love of things around us, that we appreciate the views that we see and the animals that are here with us and we share the planet with. And all of this, how do we achieve that again? Well, it's going to take people broken down and broken away from doing what they've been doing all these years, generations, decades, centuries, and a return to that which is truly in balance with what is out there surrounding us in our solar system and galaxy, as you said. And we know the order of things there may be in question as well, both from the sun and from other planetoids that may be coming into our area. So we really have no control over that, and we must again respond. How are we going to respond? Is it going to be with a positive connection, or is it going to be, again, destruction? We must begin to rebuild, and it's elemental. It is absolutely fundamental. It's essential that we do it right at the place where we live, our neighbors, our friends, our communities, our states, and so forth. And we do that by becoming more independent in how we think, what we are, our goals that are common, and then take what we know we must do and do it. If that means growing your food naturally, then do that. If that means being out and taking care of the environment around you, then you must do that. If that means protecting yourself from those or others that would try and take what you have built, then that must be a consideration. Being able to communicate when communications may not be easy because of sun activity or other breakdowns in systems. And how do we do that? How do we maintain our health? And what do we do when we have a cataclysmic release of radiation or other factors that will jeopardize our health? Where do we go with this, Don? And I think it's just clear that you go to the source. You go mm-hmm. to places that will give you the information and people who will provide those things that you need to get it through, whatever source that may be. And so if we start with that basic plan of those things I've mentioned and making it survivability and adaptability to the changing nature of the things around us, then we have a fighting chance. Otherwise, if people are waiting on government, Don, or if they're waiting on people or even churches, I'm sorry to say, or those agencies we would like to think are helpful, they're going to be sorely disappointed at the most vulnerable time in their life, and it will not bode well.
Mm-hmm. Greg, you know, you said a few things. In fact, you were saying things that were going to answer a question I was going to ask you, so I didn't need to ask the question. But you sensed very well. You discerned where I wanted to go with this, but I want to back up to the first thing that you said, and you addressed spirituality. What do you say to the person that has been going through the motions of being spiritual, but doesn't even understand the definition of spirituality? In other words, how do they actually become spiritual? And it's going to take an effort, I know on your part, to interface that with what's going on in the physical. But in a sense, it's very simple, too. And it all begins with the truth, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely right. And, you know, we have been very good, many of us, myself included, in deceiving ourselves over the years. I'd like to think I've got better discernment now, but certainly room for more growth. But in the end, you know, how much deceit and how much do we want to kid ourselves about what we think we have done or that we are responsible for in terms of a spirituality that comes from a God a force, a God in and through us. And in my belief system, Don, God created us, and it says in His image. Then I have a tremendous responsibility in that belief system to say I must communicate with my Heavenly Father, so that I am on track, and that everything that I do, if it reflects the goodness, the absolute 1,000% purity of God, then I am on the right course. And if people don't see that, if they don't understand that need is greater than anything else, because as you said, Don, our body that we inhabit right now is very temporal, very short-lived, and where are we going next? What will we be up against? I tell you, folks, you will be so much happier, so much more at peace. The anxiety will leave, the depression will leave, and the things that tear us up every single day will be out of there if we simply grasp that component first and let it go with God. That's the best thing I can tell you.
Now, the government tells us everything that they want us to know, everything that they want us to do. And there are stories going around that there's a planet. This has been happening for many years. It's just resurfaced again while people are paying attention to what's going on. Because it's best to bring out propaganda during times of great stress, because the people won't discern. It's just another load of baggage that they're going to try to pick up at the same time. So the fear increases exponentially, and then they're not reasoning. They're not logically considering what they're being told. They're just accepting it flat out, which adds to the fear. And pulls the consciousness downward.
Oh, it certainly does. And I know, Don, that many folks out there listening, because of your background and the tradition of your family and faith, that many understand that we have the greatest, in my view, the greatest ability to touch God through His Son Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And it is that effort, that history, that availability of the personal relationship that I feel is most precious. You know, as a police officer and in the military, Don, there were times when I feared for what would happen, and so it became very real to me. And I hope you'll understand, folks, that I have been tried in the fire. And I found that my closest moments to God were those that were most difficult. And so Jesus is there, and He's leading the way. And I want more than anything for people around the world to have that ultimate experience and responsibility in taking their lives to that next level. But I will say again, Don, to you that what we must do now, at a time when radiation is hanging out there, the possibility of global contamination, the idea that systems may continue to break down, we heard right away, as we would expect after this horrendous tsunami came through, that there is no power. There are no communications. People are sleeping in the streets. It's cold in Japan. and there is no food. There's no water in some cases, and they haven't eaten or had much to eat or water. These are the essentials, Don. I don't think I have to point that out, but I'll just say that in your plan, you need to have the essentials so that you can also work through a time where there is a natural disaster. The earth is revolting against the poor stewardship of men, and we may be out of supplies for some time. We may be out of the transportation network that can get them to us. Let's consider just an earthquake or just a tsunami, and I say just with, you know, it's ridiculous for me to say that, but a hurricane or a volcano. What are you going to do? Are you going to wait for government vehicles that may or may not be able to reach you? And then you're sitting back wondering how you're going to go fishing or whatever you might have to do to feed yourself. I mean, this is something that we're pretty accustomed to day in, day out. And so that is part of the plan. It's an essential part of the plan. And, of course, then being able to rebuild in physical terms, but also in our community terms. We must open up to people. We must be honest with people. We must treat people like we want to be treated, the golden rule, the essence of who we would be if we had the spiritual connection. And so that, I guess, I don't know, I could get into a lot more detail. And I, again, don't want to make this commercial, but I would just invite you to go to theheartlandusa.com, where that's our website. You will see both great aids to you that are there, and you'll also see the announcement, Don, and I just make a very quick one about this. People can read it at The Heartland USA. Is that we're having a great gathering in Jefferson City, Missouri, just south of there, or west, I should say. And it's a wonderful time. People are coming from all over the country. Great speakers going to be there. It's going to be a celebration of those things that we need to do, both in terms of our nation and spiritually, to get back what we have lost, what we have squandered. And that will be April 8th, 9th, and 10th. Coming up very soon. Everything you need to know about it is at the website, and we invite you to come.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, the details are there, so I guess we don't need to take the show time to discuss that. But that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. Once a person, see, there are a lot of people, Greg, that feel that they're living a spiritual life, and yet they're unaware of what's really going on. So you have to ask yourself, are they really being spiritual? Because you take responsibility and that word spiritual, what does that mean? Isn't that recognizing who we really are, in a sense? That's the essence of spirituality, is knowing what oneself is.
And
because we're in this belief system, and we're believing that we are who they tell us we are, and we have to do what they tell us we have to do, and we're going to die when they tell us we're going to die because it's not permitted to live any longer. That mentality has kept us imprisoned, and we need to go inward to make that connection with God so that God can then work through us. We've cut ourselves off from God. He has not separated himself from us. We have allowed others to cause that separation. And in a great sense, it's an illusion. It's not real, but the emotion that it creates, fear, cripples us. It paralyzes us from doing anything. As people, we should be demanding that war ceases. There is no justification for war at all. Now, people will begin to reason, well, if somebody attacks you. But you see, that's the lack of consciousness. That's the lack of love. That's the lack of spirituality that causes beings to be that way. We have to demand that these things be done.
People have failed in that responsibility. And I'll just simply say that because we have failed to keep our government and those leaders around the world within the charted course, we've lost control. They control it. and they are dictating to us at every level, in every sense, and they're doing it in secret. They're doing it with an immoral background and with a criminal intent that eclipses even Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin and other great dictators, and I might have to add soon some American dictators. And so it's a horrible position, but we can claim the high ground, and we have that option. We just need to exercise it.
Now, I went back to that to stress that that's the end result. That's the goal that ultimately we are going to recognize and pursue. And there's no reason to put it off. There's no reason to wait to do that. How are we going to face the Creator, those of us that'll be fortunate enough to do so, and account for what we did and did not do in this life? If we don't recognize what's going on, if we don't see things the way they really are, in that sense, in the way God sees them, we should be striving to see that and striving to evoke those principles. There would be no need for war.
Don, standing on the Great Prairie of Kansas when I was a law enforcement officer, I saw tornadoes. I saw their destruction. I saw them coming and moving and realizing that many people in the path of those great storms were in danger, immediate danger of losing their lives. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it also with this great tsunami and hurricanes and all the rest of the force of nature. And so we just must understand that we're simply a tick or two away from ultimately going on. And are we ready for that? No, we're not, many of us. Have we come to real truth with ourselves of our status that we know? We have not. And are we prepared for the consequences of failing to do what we've just been talking about? And no, we are not. And only at that last second, when we realize we're about to cross over, and the great indecision and the lack of our preparation spiritually in our hearts, minds, and souls for what's coming leads many to terror beyond anything that can be described. And I don't want that for people. I want them to have a great relationship with the God that created the universe and his son Jesus. And I also want people to get back in balance with what they need to do across the globe. Don, I see our time's ticking away here, and I so appreciate your letting me be with you tonight. It's just a privilege and a pleasure beyond description to be with you like this.
I would ask you kindly to stay with us because I have a surprise for you and our listening audience.
Okay. Before
we say goodnight. And I know that you want to get into a lot of the details here, but I just felt the Spirit tugging me in the direction to understand that it's not somebody telling you, it's within you. You know, the answers are there.
Yes.
And that comes from God. When you begin to look within and seek to know who you really are, that's when when you'll hear God's voice. God's always saying, hey, Don, hey, Greg, do you hear me? I'm trying to get your attention.
That's right.
Excuse me. You see, we're not paying attention. That message is always there. Now, I don't mean that for you specifically, Greg. That's not at all.
Well, it's good for me, too.
What I'm implying. But you took it upon yourself to express that in another way. And I want to share that with the listeners.
Sure.
The storm clouds gather, far across the sea, let us swear our allegiance to a land still free. Let us all be grateful. So fair, as we raise our voices. this solemn prayer.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was tonight's guest, Greg Evenson, singing God Bless America from his album Hymns from the Heartland. Greg, I bet I could 100% be accurate in saying that you are the first former Kansas State Trooper. What branch of the military were you in?
I was in the U.S. Army, Don.
Okay, and a former U.S. Army soldier who was on the same show with Andrea Bocelli.
Well, Don, you did surprise me, and just this very short quip with that. While I was a trooper, I had the great privilege back in the 1970s of escorting Kate Smith, who sang the original after Irving Berlin introduced it in the 1940s, to the stage at the Kansas State Fair, where she sang that to a tremendous audience. And I will tell you that Kate Smith was a love. I got to spend a little bit of time with her, and she was just a great example of what Americans can do at their best.
Well, there was another topic that we were hoping maybe to tackle a little bit. I don't even know if you want to go into it, but briefly, there were some reports that came out around the end of the first week of March that there was some foreign troops spotted in various states. In fact, I counted 21 states that have these troops from foreign countries. Is this treason that we're witnessing?
I think, Don, in part, yes. And I'll just answer your immediate inquiry. But beyond that, I think what you're seeing is not only a sense of a deep coercion on the part of those within the world community that have said, we are going to pull you, United States, into this great effort, this effort to control it all, whether you like it or not, whether your people like it or not, and the U.S. has pretty much capitulated to that. And so what you're seeing is not only this sense of ultimate coercion, but you're also seeing desperation. that we really, at least we're exhibiting this to the world, we are not taking care of ourselves any longer. We must rely on foreign forces to ultimately enforce control over the population of the United States at an appointed time when we will make this great transition into world socialism. And if it's possible, Don, to say, I think even a worse situation than we have now, and ultimately that will not bode well for the people of this nation or anywhere else, and I believe we'll see part of it because, again, of the balance issue, you will see more continuing earth changes as all of this interplays destructively around us.
Yes, and conveniently our military is elsewhere on the planet.
Yes.
And not guarding our shores.
That is correct.
These are the realities, folks, that we have to awaken to. And for that reason, I encourage you to go to Dr. Greg Evenson's website, theheartlandusa.com. Check it out. And, Greg, are you selling your CDs also on your website?
Well, you know, Don, they are available there because we do have a lot of requests for it. I've sung, you might imagine, a little bit over the last 30, 40 years around the world. In fact, I did sing opera in Italy and Austria many years ago, so I do not record that any longer. But, yes, they are available along with the documents that and DVDs that are available there to help folks through this. Because, you know, Don, a lot of people just don't know where to turn. We can talk about it, and we can offer them some very superficial, quick kind of things tonight on this show. But in fact, my wife was the one, the real architect of this, that said, you need to put this on tape and write a book or two and get this out where people can hear what you have taken a lifetime to amass. And so that's what we did, and that it's for that reason.
Yes. Well, I intentionally didn't introduce you as a singer, or it would have blown the surprise. So.
Well, it sure was. When I hear myself sometimes, I go, oh, boy, I was a little flat over there, or I wasn't quite having the support I need, but that, you know, that's kind of silly. But, you know, that when I sang that song, I'll just say once again that I remember the great discussion I had with Kate Smith, and she said the greatest moment of her life was in the dark days of early 1942, and she was singing this with the New York City, New York Philharmonic, Arturo Toscanini, I believe, was the director at that time. And they had just brought that song into the forefront. And she said the first time she sang it, the entire audience was in absolute silence when she finished it for all of maybe 1 or 2 seconds. And then she said they exploded, came to their feet. And it was not so much the nationalism in that song. It was from the heart. You said that earlier in the program today that about being from the heart. And I will tell you that is the truth. I learned that from Kate that moment, although I had my own idea of it. But what a great example of the darkest moments. Well, it's time now at these dark moments to be able to gather ourselves and have some sense of purpose, and I'm careful when I say pride, in that pride in the sense that we do our very best, that we're unyielding when we say we want the best. Let's do this right. Let's not stop and be content with a halfway job or we took a shortcut to get this done. Let's do it right. And Don, I just would beg people tonight to stop where you are and consider what you can do to really get out there and begin to make it right. That's what this great gathering in Missouri is about. It's not a rah-rah session. It's not. Well, let's get together for a good time and a picnic. That's not it. It's what can we do? We are in such desperate need of doing something good and moral and positive and life energizing instead of life threatening. I can't tell you how we have agonized over this, and my wife has been working literally around the clock. I say that with no exaggeration, trying to get this thing ready. She has been the one putting it together and making all of the contacts, and all of the great people that have said they will be there, the great speakers and other folks that are coming just to share what they know and what they have. It's a time we need this. We need this more than anything right now. And if people can come together in this nation and sit down and agree to do something positive, Don, I think that's the best thing we could do. And I yielded to people who said, let's quit talking about it. Would you please do this? And we've done it. I don't know if I'd ever do it again, but it's been a wonderful journey. And I want this, especially on top of everything else, to be something where we can all walk away and say, oh, that was great. We needed that. Now let's get to work.
Yes, absolutely. With your permission, I'll include a couple of paragraphs and a link to your site on my website.
Oh, sure.
DirectLightProductions.com, and then I'm sure you're going to get some response, because we have quite a large listening audience.
So it'd be great to hear from them, Don. I know you've got great folks out there, and they're a loyal audience. And folks, I'll just tell you this. I want you to know that this man is exactly who he says he is. He's as genuine as it comes, and I have gotten to know him well over the last few years, and I'll tell you, it's always an awesome thing, Don, when we have time to chat, and both of us have been a little busy lately, but I want them to encourage you as well and to support you in whatever way you need that, and please stay on the air. We need great warriors right now.
Well, Greg, I feel the same way about you and appreciate you staying up so late with the busy schedule you have. As you said, you teach, and then you teach. So you're working around the clock. And give my best to Liz, if you would, please.
I sure shall. She's been listening in tonight, and she loves you, Don. So you know what? You just take good care, and if we can help you folks, the HeartlandUSA.com, make sure that you get to us, and we'll do our very best to answer quickly and all the rest of it. So,
and please give your show time out as well.
Sure. The time that I broadcast is on Sunday at 2 o'clock Central Time at RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, .org, RBN.org, and you can stream from there. And we would just love to have you as guest. It would be great to be able to have you there. And Don, I just thank you so much for this privilege. And just remember, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, and that means to us all. May that be our prayer tonight. And thanks again, dear friend.
Amen. Thank you, Greg, for being on the show. I look forward to the next time. Good luck with all your work, and let's keep in touch.
Thanks, Don, and good night to all you folks out there.
Okay, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Dr. Greg Evenson. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Don Newsom on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guests will be Mr. Ken Adachi and Zuranova star Livingstone. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.